Good morning and welcome to another edition of Talk to the Experts. It must be springtime. You see, our guest today is TRU's Ian Robertson. He's here to talk about horticulture and other plant-related topics. He's also going to tell us about a community group called TRU Friends of the Gardens. Now, this is a group for plant enthusiasts and open to everyone from the very beginner to the experienced seasoned veteran when it comes to gardening. And as we're going to find out as the show goes on, Ian is very passionate about plants and has the good fortune to experience that through his work as a floriculturist at Thompson Rivers University. Ian is also a graduate of TRU's horticultural program and has an interesting story to share about how he switched from his previous career to one that he's in right now. Good morning and welcome to the studio.
Well, thank you for having me.
So it's one of those deals like we all have past lives and
yeah,
well, lots right. of time in my case anyway. What's said on the bus stays on the bus, right?
That's right.
I have to ask you, Ian, What is a floriculturist?
Okay, so well, you know what, a floriculturist is a horticulturist, but my specialty is ornamental plants as opposed to just every kind of plant. It's specifically to do with flowers and what is most ornamental.
So you stick the vegetables aside then?
Yeah, some of the vegetables are also ornamental, you know, like Swiss chards and things like that are very ornamental, but yeah.
And tell us a little bit more what the field includes then.
Well, mostly it includes the growing and propagating of flowers and of course, their use in the landscape, but also finding and using what would be classified as sort of interesting looking plants that aren't in flower. So like your house plants could be used out in the gardens too.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
My wife would like to hear that because our place is loaded with plants.
Well, actually, you know what? I found many years ago that they just love a summer vacation, so they should just go outside.
Really?
Yeah. I take them out of the pots because they're, first of all, they're probably pot bound in these pots. They've been sitting around inside the house forever.
Right.
They love being outside. You'll find amazing things happen to plants that have been inside that go outside. When you do that, by the way, make sure you do it with a little bit of transition. Don't just throw them out into scalding sun because your plants will show you that this is not what they want.
This is not a good thing.
No. Best to put them out in shady areas. But you'll still find that they'll become more vigorous, they'll be healthier. If they do have any sort of problems in the house, they'll overcome those problems very easily.
What about tropical plants and stuff like that?
Well, definitely all house plants probably are tropical to begin with.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're coming from somewhere else to begin with, and they do very well in our houses because where they grow in the tropics are mostly understories, below trees and high canopies. So they do really well in sort of constant temperature, even lit areas, even poorly lit areas like inside your home.
I'm trying to think of, you know, like I said, my wife's got like 9 million different plants in just about every room. But it seems to me the ferns and that kind of thing, they don't do that well often inside, I guess. And outside they may do better?
They you know what? What'll happen is they probably will respond to more light. Even in the shade outside, you'll still have more light in the summer months than you will inside the house. So the plants will probably respond very well to that. I take the plants out of their pots and actually plant them in the ground outside.
Chances are, too, if you've had a plant in the house for a very long time, that soil they're in is not very healthy anyway, is it?
That's exactly right. And that brings to mind something else, which is if you do have problems with your house plants, very oftentimes just simply repotting them will fix the problem.
Wow. Well, I can tell you a problem my wife couldn't fix very easily, and she went on a trip for 2 or 3 weeks, and she says, make sure you water the plants. And then she got back, they were almost all dead, because I tended to let them swim for a little bit.
Yeah, well, that is the number one problem. With
overwatering.
Overwatering, yes.
Is there a rule of thumb on that?
Yeah, there kind of is. Generally speaking, if the plant is growing and seems healthy and starts to wilt a little bit and you look at the soil and it's sort of dry and shrinking up from the pot, yeah, probably it needs a little drink. That's the truth. And if it isn't doing that, if you touch the soil and it feels moist at all, don't water it. It doesn't need it.
You know, it's funny, going the other way, I was doing a remote at a a garden center for one of our clients here at Radio NL, and we had some master gardeners there answering any questions from the folks dropping by, and they were their specialty were hanging baskets, and it was a hot stinking day that day.
Yeah.
It was the sun was so hot,
right.
And some of those baskets it was really wilting.
Mm-hmm.
And so this master gardener comes, this thing needs a drink. He got the hose out, and within half an hour, these things woke right up.
They all puffed right back up. Yeah, one of the really great plants for that in Kamloops are actually petunias, you know.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Petunias can take the heat, and you know what? They look fantastic in baskets, and if they're starting to wilt at all, just throw the water on them, they just pop right back up.
What about trees? Are you into trees at all?
Absolutely. We need trees. We don't have trees.
What's wrong with my trees?
We're not here, yeah. What's wrong with your trees?
Yeah. First of all, I got a lot of questions. And this is not my favorite topic because I know nothing about it, only because I've just never really had to experience anything. My wife takes care of everything, right?
Right.
Speaking of trees, I want to get into one other question, though. I understand with the different areas in the interior, these areas are zoned. What's that all about?
Yeah, zones are all about what the temperature, the lowest temperature that plant can survive well in. So a zone 5, for instance, like we are in Saheli and
Saheli's higher than downtown.
Right. But downtown you might be able to grow a little bit better. So maybe downtown will be a zone 5B instead of a 5A.
The higher the number, the what? The worse, the better?
The higher the number, the greater amount of plants you can grow safely in it.
Oh, okay.
The lower the number, the more likely you are to have a frost.
Is there such a thing as a zone 1?
Yes, there is. That would be like the Arctic.
Yeah, nothing's going to grow there.
You're not going to have very much grow there.
I live in Westfold. I think I told you that before we went to air. And I believe we're zone 3.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's what we are there.
Yeah, and you know what? In some places, like around the side of a building, on the north side of a building, or the east side of a building, you might be able to grow plants that are zone 4. Right?
Is that delicate?
Water. Yeah, that's right. Because if you get a little bit of protection from the wind, mostly, right?
Yeah.
And from cold and dryness, then a plant can survive fairly well.
What's this past winter done for plants, outdoor plants and trees and the like?
Well, this last winter has had an enormous amount of snow. So there's a lot of snowpack. That snow is actually very good for plants because it protects the plants from the cold, from the wind, from the desiccating, drying winds. And that snow will all end up in the ground, in groundwater. And, of course, groundwater is excellent for plants and trees later on when they need it in the summer months.
Yeah.
And they're starting to draw it all up. So a high snowpack is really good for protecting your plants around your house.
So, and yeah, it also gives you no frost level to speak of as well.
Exactly, right, yeah. But the issue really is when you get the snow. Do you get the snow with the cold, or do you get it after the cold? Like if you've had 2 weeks of cold before the snow comes, like that could damage a lot of plants.
I got a pet peeve of my place, and we were talking about trees.
Yes.
It's my peach tree.
Oh, yeah.
The first year we got it, Zippo.
Yes.
Second year, got one.
Yes.
Third year, no. 4 or 5 peach.
Ah,
the year after, which is 2 years ago now,
yes,
it was loaded with peaches.
Ah.
Very sweet, very ripe, very everything,
right.
All positive.
Right.
Last year, Zippo.
Oh. Okay.
What happened?
Did you talk to your wife about it?
No, we were both actually mystified.
Maybe she stopped looking after it.
No, we actually don't do anything, and we live in a semi-desert area, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, getting water on our property. Our property in Westfold is probably the only non-irrigated property, so it's very difficult.
Yes, you know? Well, water is the issue.
It is
the number one issue for growing plants, period, anywhere, outside, inside, every way.
I'm told that fruit trees, they flower first, of course, and
yes,
then comes the fruit.
Yep.
If it's too early and the winds blow the petals off, you're done, right?
Can do, yeah.
That's what would happen to our peach tree.
Very likely, yeah. You could have a late frost, take those blossoms right off of there, and you're done for that year.
Talking with Ian Robertson, he's a floriculturist with TRU. Lots more to talk about. As a matter of fact, I have a whole list of questions here.
Oh, perfect.
And I got as far as the first one.
Oh, that's... I'll have to come back.
No, well, I'm not going to argue with that.
Right.
We'll take a break and we'll get into some of those questions with Ian Robertson from TRU on Talk to the Experts on Radio NL. Welcome back to Talk to the Experts. I'm Paul Graham. In the studio with me, I've got Ian Robertson, who is with Thompson Rivers University. He's a floriculturist. We now know what that is. Got a little bit of expertise headed our way in the last segment when it came to plants and the trees and the like. As I mentioned earlier, Ian didn't start out in horticulture. He took a rather interesting path to get there. How and why did you get involved with horticulture?
Yes, that is interesting. I think so, anyways. Well, for a long time, I would be working at my job, which was in heavy-duty mechanics.
You're kidding.
Reconstruction. No, really. A lot of off-road stuff, brake reconstruction. Worked in a machine shop setting for a long time, and I never really liked it. I never really liked that job. And I had the opportunity to change careers after moving to Kamloops. And one of the first things I was asked at a Pathways program was, what was it I liked to do in my spare time? Well, as it turns out, I liked to look after my garden in my spare time.
Uh-huh.
And where that garden came from was my grandmother. My grandmother had a backyard that was just another world of plants and roses. And when I was a boy, when I was a young boy, we would go over to grandma's house, and the parents would all go into the house, and I would go into the backyard and sit there with the birds and the flowers, and it was just another world. It was amazing to me. I couldn't believe it.
And it's amazing what nature can do to you, huh?
It totally just changed. I think it did. I think it changed me. So when I heard that she had to move out of her house because she couldn't handle it anymore and she couldn't take her roses, I went and I dug them all up, even though I didn't know anything about them, nothing at all.
Yeah.
I dug them all up and I put them in my yard, and then I'd come home frustrated from my job at work, and I'd tend the garden for half an hour before I even went into the house every day. And then when I came to Kamloops and I brought all those roses with me from down on the coast, and I planted them all and looked after them all, and job opportunity change came. One of the things I asked myself was, what was it I like to do the most? And I like to garden. And so I went to TRU, and I was talking with a professor there about doing the environmental science program there, and he got me thinking about doing the horticulture program, which I didn't even know was there.
Yeah.
And so I did. I decided, you know what, I really like that, so I'm going to go there, and I did it, and I'm so glad I did. I haven't looked back at all since then. I've spent most of my days outside in the sunshine with the flowers and the birds and the bees, and it sounds very ridiculous, but it really isn't. It really touches me in a way that I can't describe any other way.
You know, your past story, I'm in my 42nd year in this industry now. Mm-hmm. Long time for anybody to be in any career.
Yeah.
But my past includes being a licensed mechanic.
Oh, wow.
So we've got kind of a similar background. The reason why I got out, I was tired of doing oil changes in my own garage, and the next day my car doesn't start. What'd you do to it?
You get
tired of that pretty quick.
That's exactly right.
Tell us about the grounds at TRU, because they're more than just a place to walk around with plenty of trees, some grass, and some plants, right?
Absolutely right, yeah. The grounds at TRU really are a very special kind of a place. I think they're very similar to what a public park would really want to be. There's flower beds and there's trees. There's lots of trees. There's lots of grass. There's lots of nice-looking, architecturally standing-out sort of buildings here and there. There's a lot of activity with students going to and fro. But the grounds themselves are just a nice little walk-around. And there's some pretty little places there. Some nice horticulture gardens. There's a lot of weddings that take place there every weekend. There are it's like a hidden gem, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're very proud of it. The groundskeepers and myself are very proud of what we do there.
You know, Kamloops has an awful lot of parks, beautiful parks too, I might add, but not a lot of different plants in the parks. I'm assuming it's because of the maintenance that's involved to keep these things looking as good as they could.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the truth. That and money.
Yeah.
I think Kamloops as a city does a really good job throwing flowers around and flower beds here and there and making things look top-notch.
You can only do so much with the funds you have.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. But beautification really does make a difference. It makes a difference for better health and wellness in people, just passers-by. It makes a difference if you're living in a block that has a flower bed nearby. It makes a difference if you've got hanging baskets hanging outside a building. There's something uplifting about having.
It's kind of neat when Kamloops gets into that competition, the Cities in Bloom competition.
I love it, yeah.
And they usually win.
yeah, and for good reason. Yeah, and on the campus, I mean, we're sort of a city in the city.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's going to be people moving and living on the campus. That's going to make a difference there as well.
Is it true that TRU grounds is one of the largest, if not the largest, gardens in British Columbia outside of the Lower Mainland?
Yeah, that's true. That's
is true. That right?
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a very large landscape. I think the total grounds are 250 acres. Of course, landscaped, we're not looking at anything anywhere near that. But you'll find just about every vista you come to on the landscape gives you something different to look at.
It's like a mini Bouchard Gardens?
I wouldn't call it a Bouchard Gardens, but it definitely is a nice walk around. It really is.
Yeah.
We really do try and make it splashy and special.
How have the grounds evolved over the years? Is there something new in the works for the spring and fall?
Well, not so much. I mean, in the past, what you had there was ponderosa pines. They were the mainstay tree on the campus.
Okay.
Okay. And then since then, in the last 35 years, a lot of other trees have been added, a lot of ornamental trees. So you have flowering crab apples and things in the springtime.
Would that include shrubs as well? And
oh, yes. Yeah. A lot of shrubs, a lot of trees, a lot of understory plants, a lot of flower beds. Many times we've tried bulbs all over the campus, which would be all emerging around Kamloops right about now. But, of course, the deer are there too, and they just wipe them out.
How do you keep deer away from gardens for the homeowner?
Coyotes.
Oh, we got those out in Westfold, lots of them. I hear them every night.
You don't have a lot of deer there, do you?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of deer.
Around.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? For the homeowner, really, all you can do is shoo them away. And
there's no sense building a fence. They'll clear that.
Pretty much, because you know what? If you're unless you're putting electric fences,
yeah,
they don't like those. Neighbors might not like those either.
Especially ones with kids.
So yeah. It depends. Yeah, your fence height's got to be pretty high. They got to be really high.